This April, the small nonprofit is being sponsored by Troy Mailing. That's T-R-O-I Mailing. Friends, I've personally been using Troy's printing and mailing services for almost 5 years now. I choose them for my clients, and I chose them when I was in-house. They are great to work with, always get my brand colors right, are cost-effective, and get my mailouts to my donors on time, even during busy seasons. Call 1-866-876-4624 for a free $100 postage credit when you use promo code DONORDM1 on your next campaign. Thank you, Troy Mailing, for sponsoring the small nonprofit.
Welcome to the Small Nonprofit Podcast with down-to-earth practical advice on how to get things done in your small organization. You are going to change the world and we can help.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anya McGlynn.
Hi, everyone.
So today is another deep topic to dive into, board fundraising.
It's so scary. Like asking these people who are already giving so much of their time and attention to then sort of think about fundraising or, you know, getting a board who's not ready to fundraise. It's so, it can be really overwhelming.
Totally daunting. And most small organizations that we work with, their boards are not recruited to be fundraising boards. Their boards are most of the time working boards. And so they feel like they can't fundraise or don't have the resources to fundraise or the connections. And right. Today's interview with Emma Luzzi is all about how to engage your non-fundraising board in fundraising without them having to, you know, bring forward their Rolodex is the favorite saying I love to hear. So
no, absolutely. For those of our listeners who are younger than us, a Rolodex is a thing where you keep contacts.
I know that term is wildly outdated.
No, but it's, you know, the metaphor is well understood. And like, you know, to the point of board fundraising, especially when your board is not a fundraising board. You know, I sit on a board that is not a fundraising board. And, you know, I think what our listeners are going to hear are these practical tips and tools that I've used myself to help a board who's not really used to fundraising think about the small little things that they can do that'll actually make a really big difference. And I think that's the main takeaway from this podcast is it doesn't have to be, you know, that your board is thinking about a six-figure gift. You know, it can just be around making the right introduction or, you know, maybe, you know, a $50 monthly donor will come out of it. It's about, you know, setting reasonable, attainable goals for your board.
And starting with areas where they can win, like thank you calls and other things. Like, I think the biggest part or area to start, which you'll hear, is really around demystifying fundraising in general, that it's not just about a bunch of people writing big checks. It's about community engagement. It's about donor love. Go back and listen to our interview with Jen Love. It really, there's so much a board can do to support fundraising efforts without feeling like they have to ask. And of course, what we'll talk about is that you, as you become more successful in those other areas, the asks are more likely to follow. So there's so much here. It is such an important topic for small organizations. Whether or not your board officially is a fundraising board or not, there's tons of great ways that they can support the fundraising in really meaningful ways to help you be more successful as an organization.
Absolutely. So if you're an executive director and you're listening and you're wondering, you know, what you can do to give your board practical tips and tools, copy and paste this link into email and your board engagement piece is done for the week.
There you go. Board education right here for you. Lots of great advice. Here's our interview with Emma. Emma Luzzi is an award-winning fundraiser who has been helping great causes like yours build and grow successful fundraising programs since 1995. She's the president-elect of the world's largest Association of Fundraising Professionals chapter, which is in Toronto, and she's the national chair of AFP's Fellowship in Inclusion and Philanthropy. Emma, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Cindy. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
As am I. A lot of people don't know that you were my first fundraising friend. And so I'm so happy to have you on the podcast talking about what I think is one of the biggest topics for small organizations, board giving and board fundraising. I feel like we're opening up a can of worms, but I know, and maybe talk a little bit about your experience in how this can be controversial or difficult for organizations to approach.
Sure. And actually, I'll start off by saying, so how long have we known each other? Probably like 20 plus years.
Close to that.
And I've been fundraising for just as long. And at the same time, I've also actually been sitting on boards for just as long. So I would like to frame this conversation by saying I'm not only a fundraiser, but I also come to this conversation with extensive experience on the other side of the table as a board member. So, you know, I think that really helps frame the conversation in the sense that I've got experience on both sides from a fundraising perspective. So, yeah, and I think board engagement and fundraising, especially at small shops, is such an important and amazing way to boost your fundraising capacity. So we can dig a little more into the details, but I'm a big fan of boards getting involved in fundraising, especially at small shops.
So you know the first thing that people will say is, but we don't have a fundraising board. But how do we unwrap that?
I think there's a couple of ways. I think there's a lot of myths around being a fundraising board. And one of the things I hear often is we just don't know people with deep pockets. But when I'm thinking about fundraising and boards, that's not where I like to start. The place I often like to start when I'm both working with a board as a consultant or even on a board as a board member is to really start off at an easier place. And I think a really good entry point for boards is to start them off by thanking donors. I've seen folks who are really reticent about fundraising, you know, turn into amazing, rabid fundraising fans by starting them off doing something that's a little easier. And I find that thanking donors just really helps board members actually connect with and start having meaningful conversations with donors and hearing directly from donors why they're supporting the organization, as well as the impact it can have to hear directly from a board member with appreciation can be really transformative for a lot of boards and organizations. So that's the place I often like to start when I'm working with boards is start them off by thanking. And I think whatever you do with your board in terms of engaging them in fundraising, we have to make it easy. And I'm saying that as a board member because, you know, I run my own small business. I'm super active in my community. You know, I do a lot of volunteer work and leadership volunteer work. And when I'm on a board, I really appreciate it when the staff team, you know, provide some support and guidance around how they might like me to help and engage. And just to go back to the thanking example, I often, when I'm on the fundraiser side, like to put together like a simple little kit for my board members. So it might be something like some speaking points in terms of, you know, what you might like to touch on when you reach a donor, perhaps a simple little form where they can record notes back in terms of like any changes or important feedback they need to capture, as well as maybe some frequently asked questions. Doesn't have to be complicated. You can probably sit down and knock something really helpful out in about an hour. And I find that really is a practical way to help support your board in terms of just getting them going on something easy that's going to have a big impact.
Totally. And it feels so good, right? Like we just did this with an organization I'm involved with and the board members had never done this before. And we sat around the table at a debrief. We had a thank-a-thon. So everyone got together, same place, same time, same day. And they thanked donors who often fall under the radar traditionally with this smaller organization, the broad-based or low-level donors. So, you know, not the major donors, not, you know, the people that are used to being called out for their support, but this was like every donation. And the board members loved it. They had fun. We gave them food, and who doesn't like food? But, you know, as you said, a rough script really helped, a place where they could take notes. And overall, I think they said about, you know, 70% of the calls were either like voicemail or just like, oh, thanks so much. But then there were a few people who were really interested in sharing their experience as a donor. And that really made the experience memorable for the board members. So all those points that you listed off, I think are so valuable in making sure that they walk away feeling amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's a great place to start. And, you know, when I'm thinking about thanking and board engagement and fundraising, like maybe I'll back it up even a little bit more, mm-hmm. And talk a bit about setting clear expectations. I think that's another point that's really important. Even if you're asking board members to pick up the phone and call donors, is, you know, and this can be a little more complex and can involve a little more engagement between your senior team, perhaps your ED and CEO and your board chair. But just talking about how, you know, what is the board role in fundraising and how are we really articulating that to folks when we are doing recruitment? You know, what are our expectations when people are joining? If we are starting off at that easier place in terms of starting folks with engaging them and thanking, huge step, amazing step, even make that clear at the outset when you're recruiting folks onto the board in terms of your board position descriptions and your recruitment interviews. It just really helps because, you know, I've been, I think I learned that lesson the hard way, you know, in working with the board and running into some barriers early on in my career. And when I backed it up a little bit, I realized, you know, people were really willing to get engaged and to help. But the sticking point was that they weren't clear that this was an expectation when they signed up. So mm-hmm. that was a big aha moment for me. It's just starting to embed some really, you know, simple steps, simple language in terms of, you know, agreeing as a group, agreeing as a board as to what they might like their role to be. There's so many ways you can play a role in fundraising, and then communicating that clearly when you're recruiting folks and making sure that's in your board manual and your position description.
I want to ask about that because tell me, from your experience, when you walk into an organization, either as a consultant, a staff, or on the board, have you seen those things in place? Or, I mean, it's something I think most organizations should aspire to, but I want to talk about the process to get there.
Yes.
I haven't seen that many organizations have it in place when we start working with them. And I haven't either.
I think this is actually a really good example of how sometimes, I think it's Simone Joyeau who says this, you know, sometimes problems that pop up or challenges that pop up in fundraising aren't necessarily fundraising problems. So to delve into that a little deeper, you know, this is a great example of how, you know, strengthening your governance can ultimately have an impact on fundraising. And I don't want to overcomplicate this conversation, but I do think it's worth, you know, I do think a lot of the work I do is around big picture fundraising strategy. And these are some of the places that we do start to look, because oftentimes infrastructure, board governance, those are things that aren't the first places people look when they're thinking about setting themselves up for fundraising success, but they can have a really big impact over the long run. So I would say it's something to think about and consider. And again, it can be a longer term project that you work with your ED and your board on. And it's something, I don't want to say you can delegate to your board, that might be a bit sensitive, but sometimes that's something you can, you know, that you can get your board working on. I think, you know, one of the greatest success stories I've had in terms of a board is a small organization. Here in Toronto, I worked with, and You know, they're very social justice oriented, working with women and children fleeing gender-based violence, you know, very community-based board. And they just recognize not only the importance of getting engaged in and supporting philanthropy, but also in strengthening governance in terms of, you know, not only supporting fundraising, but also like delivering more effectively on mission. So these are some big picture, you know, hopefully I'm blending, you know, both practical, easy to implement tips, but also bigger picture pieces that you might want to think about over the long run that ultimately end up impacting your fundraising success, as well as the willingness of your board to engage in fundraising. So it is possible. I have been there. I have seen it. It can take a little bit of a longer time, but it's always a good conversation to start, you know, with your board and with your senior team.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be one and then two, right? I think the process to around governance is a longer process, but don't wait for that, please.
Yes.
The board is not going to be mad if you ask them to pick up the phone and do some thank you calls. They will be mad if you ask them to, you know, identify people who can write a, you know, $10,000 check if that's not part of the expectation. So start with something that is reasonable, but don't wait for governance and structural changes to happen to get started. These are things that your board can do and feel good about doing, even if they didn't feel like they signed on to be fundraising.
Totally, totally true. And also I'll say, you know, these things that we're talking about today are challenges at big shops too. I know a lot of your listeners come from smaller shops, but I've also been at big, well-established shops that have been around for, you know, 25 plus years. They may be better resourced, but they're not necessarily struggling, not struggling with the same challenges, especially around governance and board engagement and fundraising. So it is possible, and definitely things to think about in the short term and the longer term, and doing them concurrently is a great idea.
Stop the podcast.
Hey everyone, it's your host Cindy Wagman and Anya McGlynn.
Hi, we just need to interject for a second.
Really important information that we want to make sure you listen to and hear. This podcast is brought to you in partnership between us, The Good Partnership, and Charity Village. And we want to make sure you know that there is a wealth of information waiting for you at both of our websites.
That's right. On Charity Village, you can find a really robust knowledge center, as well as a fantastic job board, whether you're looking for short-term, long-term employment, or volunteer opportunities.
So for that, you can visit charityvillage.com. And of course, on The Good Partnership, we have lots of resources specifically around fundraising.
That's right. There are fundraising plans. There are fundraising strategy guides. There are, of course, all the past episodes of this podcast. So if you're looking for specific advice and tools and tips on fundraising, check out thegoodpartnership.com.
And especially if you don't know where to start, I love our brand new fundraising guide. It outlines all the different fundraising strategies there are out there and gives you some information to help you evaluate which ones are right for you. So for that, thegoodpartnership.com/guide. Happy fundraising.
On with the podcast.
I want to talk or hear from you a little bit about the tension between fundraising and social justice from a board's perspective in terms of recruitment. So we often will see organizations work around social justice. Part of that is making sure that the board is reflective of the community. We've heard that a lot. And I hear from clients and other organizations that that feels like a fundamental tension with the expectation to fundraise. What's your experience around that?
I think it's how you see board engagement and fundraising. If you're looking at it from a very traditional perspective, i.e. you need to have access to people with deep pockets, as we talked about before, of course that's going to create a tension. If we look at fundraising a little differently, I think, you know, it's very possible. And I've seen it, you know, I've seen community-based boards at social justice organizations be some of the most enthusiastic embracers of a role in fundraising. I think the key is it needs to be flexible, and people need to be able to plug in where they can, and where they have the capacity to get engaged. So I think giving people a menu of options in terms of different ways that they can engage in fundraising and just being flexible. I don't think, you know, I think one of the things I know we've talked about one-on-one a lot is the notion of 100% board giving. That can often be a really big sticking point for community-based boards. And when I say community-based boards, I would typically mean a board that may have some service users or former service users sitting on it, for example, or that is more representative of the community and organization serves. So I, as you know, am actually a big advocate for 100% board giving. And I've seen that done successfully at organizations of all sizes, including organizations that have a social justice focus, that have community-based boards. Mm-hmm. And I think the key here is just open dialogue and conversation at the board level around board giving. Because it's very interesting. I've seen these conversations become very uncomfortable at the board level, but it's interesting. It's often people with most privilege that make them most uncomfortable.
Interesting.
Because
go deeper, yes.
What's happening is that they're making a lot of assumptions about, you know, other folks on the board who may be former service users or you know, community members. They're making assumptions about their ability to give, their interest in giving. So having an open conversation is massively important. I have been through this process myself with community-based boards. I think it's a really healthy way to approach the notion of agreeing upon 100% mm-hmm. board giving. I think, let me rewind just to say the importance of 100% board giving to me is that if you're an organization that is trying to grow your fundraising, these are the folks that are on the leadership team of your organization. These are the folks who are closest to your organization. We really need to see them role modeling philanthropic giving from my perspective. Mm-hmm. Philanthropic giving beyond time. Time is such a valuable resource. It's so important. But I believe that 100% board giving has to include a financial donation as well. I know it's controversial, but I have seen it successfully done. And I think the key here, you can describe this as you like, but I often heard the term early on in my fundraising career of thinking about giving a personally significant gift.
Yeah.
So the thing about a personally significant gift is that can work for a board member that has significant capacity and a track record of giving major or leadership gifts. It can work for a community-based or former service user board member as well, because they're really orienting themselves within this conversation. What is personally significant for me? So, you know, having worked with some, you know, thinking of a former board member I worked with who was a previous service user, and she became a monthly donor to the organization because it was personally significant for her. It was a way that she could spread out her donation over the course of a year and, you know, make a significant for her contribution in a way that was really manageable. So I would say don't make assumptions about people on your board. Engage everyone in the conversation. You know, let's talk about why 100% giving is important. And let's not make decisions for other folks without engaging them in that conversation. And again, maybe you decide that's not the route for you, and that's okay as well. I'm championing one particular perspective, and I have seen it done successfully. I think it's just around open conversation. I think it's around, you know, thinking about what's personally significant for each board member, and role modeling this behavior to the community at large who you want to also be giving as well.
Absolutely. And I think one thing I'll add is really celebrating.
Yes.
Board gifts. So whether that person is giving $5 a month or $5,000 a year or more, or less, making sure that they all feel like their contributions are equal in terms of board participation. I think that is, you know, you don't want to start separating them out, and you don't want people to know how much each other are giving, generally speaking. So, I would say making sure that they get celebrated is
the I think that's something we need to do more in fundraising in general. I don't think we celebrate enough. Let's celebrate more. Celebrate those gifts and accomplishments and board giving. Yeah, it's so important. We work so hard, and celebrating those achievements is really important.
So you mentioned earlier in terms of like board involvement, a menu of options. So now we've seen two that we've gone deeper into. One is 100% board giving. Mm-hmm. One is being involved in thanking donors. What are some of your other favorite options to involve the board in fundraising?
I really like the idea of, I often call it hosting. So hosting can be, for example, organizing a small fundraising house party at your home. That's a great example of a way you can host and engage your network in, you know, coming over and learning about a great cause that you're really closely involved with. So hosting's fantastic. House parties are fantastic. Hosting can actually even extend to, for example, if your organization has an in-house event or an open house. One thing I would like to do, you know, when I was a fundraiser is actually, you know, assign a list of folks to or donors or attendees for each board member to take care of in a sense. So just knowing who you're aiming to like check in with, to say hello to engage in conversation with, is a great way also, no matter what size the event, you can definitely get board members engaged in playing a bit of a hosting role with your donors and supporters and having a one-on-one conversation with them. And, you know, I just want to say what, you know, opportunity lies in that kind of work. I was thinking about one of the biggest, you know, gifts of my fundraising history. I think started off as a conversation between a board member and a donor at an open house. Mm. And, you know, that conversation just ended up evolving into an interest in making a bequest pledge and, you know, a significant, I'd say close to 7-figure bequest pledge for this organization. Started off as a simple conversation between a board member and a donor at an open house. And that donor had previously been giving $75 a year over the course of about 10 years. So
wow,
these, you know, there's so many incredible opportunities and possibilities when, you know, you start engaging with board members or start engaging with donors and having more one-on-one conversations, and board members can play an incredible role in that. And it can actually be really easily sort of plugged into or added onto things that you're already doing. So, you know, it's a little bit of extra advanced work getting board members set up with folks, you know, to check in with at an open house, for example, but the benefits can be tremendous. Even just in terms of a cultivation opportunity as well. So hosting's one, 100% board giving. And of course, you know, I would be remiss to say, actually, you know, getting out there and participating in solicitation and making asks. And that can be something that you as a fundraiser, you know, can really help take some of the fear out of for board members. Board members are great folks to bring along with you. If you're going out on a major donor call or a donor meeting, and you can really support them, you know, in being able to be effective in that work as well, as long as you make sure they're briefed in advance. Perhaps you give them a couple of, you know, of key strategic questions to ask your donor in the course of the meeting. So as long as they're clear on their role, they can be a real asset in going out, even just on a major donor stewardship meeting. So that's one thing I really like to bring board members out on those calls. And they don't have to, again, they don't have to be necessarily soliciting their networks. I think that they can, you know, and many board members actually do get to the point where they like to and want to engage their network in encouraging them to give to the organization. So yeah, supporting them in doing that's really important. But again, giving the flexibility for folks to plug in where they're comfortable, and making it as easy as possible through, you know, either kits, training is something we haven't talked about yet. Just sort of training them to become a little more comfortable in fundraising. Sometimes the barrier really is like, I want to help and I really don't know how. That's my experience with board members. You know, I really want to participate in fundraising. I really want to support fundraising. I don't know how. I think it needs being connected. I think it means being connected to people with deep pockets. So, you know, in training and supporting and enabling your board, you can help them. You can help them, you know, contribute and be productive in the right direction, because sometimes we've all seen it happen that boards are enthusiastic about supporting fundraising success and, you know, left to their own devices, you know, maybe doing things that aren't necessarily in alignment with your fundraising strategy. Is that a way to put it? So, you know, for example, boards are very keen around starting new special events, but it's really largely because that's what they think of as fundraising, right? So 100%. If they want to help, that's often the first place they go. And it's our job as fundraisers and fellow board members, not that events are bad, they can be a healthy part of a great fundraising portfolio, but it's also around supporting and engaging board members in other effective ways to fundraise as well, and making sure that our, you know, fundraising portfolio doesn't get out of balance and overweight on something like special events.
That is so fantastic. I just want to summarize because there's a lot we've talked about. And so the first thing is your board can and should be involved, in our opinions, in fundraising in a way that feels within that fits within your organization values and the roles that your board signed up to do. That the first place you should think about is 100% board giving. But of course, giving your board a lot of options around how they can contribute, be it thanking, giving themselves, hosting, which I actually think is kind of two things. One is hosting their networks and one is being a host for your existing supporters. Being involved in some higher level, both cultivation, which is before the ask for non-fundraisers, asking as well as following up after the ask and maintaining that relationship, otherwise known as stewardship. Those are really great areas. And most importantly, whatever you're asking them to do, give them proper training, set them up for success, thank them profusely, and make it a really great experience for them. Does that sound like what we talked about?
That sounds like a great recap. And I'll add one thing is, don't make assumptions, really engage people in this conversation. It's such an important part of getting your board engaged in fundraising. So, but yeah, I think that was a great recap. And I will say, you know, even if you start small, it is possible, and great board engagement in fundraising can increase your fundraising capacity incredibly. And heck, may even sometimes lead to something amazing like a 7-figure gift.
There you go. Definitely worth your time to explore this as a small organization. Of course, any organization. Emma, thank you so much. Where can our listeners learn more about you and the work that you're doing?
They can find me online at blueskyphilanthropy.com. I write there and video there weekly about things just like this, how to engage your board in fundraising, how to raise major gifts for smaller shops. So I'd love to see you there. And thanks so much for having me, Cindy.
Well, folks, that's it for today's episode of The Small Nonprofit. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and this show is brought to you by The Good Partnership. As a reminder, if you want more resources around raising more money for your small nonprofit, visit thegoodpartnership.com and download our free fundraising strategy guide. I'll see you next week.